Welcome to Grace and Glory Audio featuring Pastor P.G. Matthew, Bible teacher and pastor of Grace Valley Christian Center located in Davis, California. Now here is our teacher, Pastor P.G. Matthew.
Heavenly Father, we pray that you make us lovers of good, lovers of God, lovers of truth. Help us, O God, to think upon what is true, to meditate upon what is noble, to dwell upon what is right, what is pure, to reflect upon what is lovely, what is excellent, what is praiseworthy. Because we live in a country where the vast majority of people revel in filth all around us. And we thank you, O God, for salvation, that you can change our hearts and give us a mind that hates filth and loves the lovely, the true, the praiseworthy, the excellent, the noble, that loves God. Open your scriptures to us, Spirit of the living God. And may we find in your word wonderful things. Food for our soul. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 17th chapter of the book of Acts, where we read Paul's ministry in Berea. Now the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures daily to see if what Paul said was true. Many of the Jews believed, as did also a number of prominent Greek women and many Greek men. The title of this sermon is "The Bible Tells Me So." Bereans were people who loved the Bible, who loved that which was good, loved that which was truth, loved that which was pure. You know, over 70 million Americans watched Barbara Walters' two-hour interview of Monica Lewinsky on ABC TV network. The subject was adultery. Americans love a filthy story that entertains them. Larry Flint, the smart peddler, is the celebrated journalist in this country. Evil is good, and good is evil. St. Paul told us about this in Ephesians 5 and verse 12. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But Americans today have no shame. They do everything in the open. They celebrate shame on TV and radio and in print medium, internet and so on. Turn on the TV, the filth comes out. But we are considering today Paul's ministry in Berea. And we are looking at the Bereans different from the majority of the Americans. They loved the Bible. They loved truth. They loved God. Berea was a city in Macedonia. And we are told by St. Paul, told by Luke, that Bereans were more noble than the Thessalonians. And I would say they were more noble than the 70 million Americans who watched the Monica mess. While most Western people love filth today. Bereans love the scriptures. So no wonder Christians throughout history praised the Bereans and emulated them. We are told that they were more noble than the Thessalonians. The Greek word is eugenesteroi. Comes from the word eugenes, from which you have the word Eugene. It means well-born. It speaks about nobility. But later on, this word came to mean a person of generous spirit. One who is open-minded. Open-minded for truth. A person of noble mind. One who is not prejudiced. One who is not hostile or suspicious of others. But one who gives others a fair hearing. Specifically, one who listens to the preaching of the gospel with an open heart in pursuit of truth. Today, in America, people are hostile to the gospel, but ready to give a hearing to the filth of every kind. And St. Paul came to Berea, and as his custom was, he preached the word in the synagogue. So by night, Paul and Silas and Timothy left Thessalonica to Berea in Macedonia. Today it is called Berea with the V, V-E-R-R-I-A. 50 miles southwest of Thessalonica, located on the foothills of Olympian Range, away from the military road called the Ignatian Way. So as usual, Paul preached in the synagogue the gospel. As in Thessalonica, he engaged the people to hear the message. He opened the scriptures, the Old Testament. If you are a preacher, you preach from the scriptures. If somebody doesn't preach from the scripture, he is no preacher. He opened the scriptures and he reasoned with them. He demonstrated to them that what the scripture promised, the Christ, the anointed one, the one who would die and the one who would rise from the dead, the Messiah, the Savior, is Jesus Christ. So he would say that Jesus of Nazareth fulfilled all things written about this Christ in the Old Testament. He died. He rose according to the scriptures. He was seen not only by the apostles, but 500 people at one time. The idea is that you can check with them. They're still living. They saw Christ, the risen Christ. And he spoke about this Jesus Christ who ascended into the heavens, the one who is seated on the right hand of the Father. He would tell them that he's coming again with great power and glory to judge the living and the dead. So he would say this Savior promised in the Old Testament is Jesus, who gives forgiveness of sins, who gives perfect righteousness, and he concludes his preaching by asking them to repent and believe on this Messiah, Jesus Christ. He would say no one else was crucified, no one else died, buried, and no one else rose from the dead. He would say to them, no one else is Lord of all. You see, Jesus himself preached this. Turn with me to what Jesus did in the synagogue in Nazareth. And on the Sabbath, he was given the scriptures to read, and he read from Isaiah 61. And he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me." That means he's speaking about a Messiah. Messiah means anointed one, anointed to be the Savior, to be the Deliverer, to be the King, to be the Lord, to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, sent me to release the oppressed. And then he closed, rolled up the scroll and sat down, and he looked at the people and he said, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. The anointed one, the Messiah spoken by Isaiah, first chapter, is sitting right here before you." Or turn with me to the book of John. What Jesus Christ said to the Samaritan woman. John 4 verse 25 and 26. The woman said, "I know that Messiah," means the anointed one, means the Christ in the Greek, "is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I who speak to you am he." I am the Christ. I am the Messiah. I am the Deliverer. I am the Savior. So that was the message. This is the message of salvation. Let me tell you, it is still the message. Jesus Christ alone forgives your sin, removes your guilt, sets you free. So what do you have to do? You have to repent and believe on him. Now he preached this, and we are told that the Bereans welcomed the message. See, when the gospel is preached, as I'm preaching today, when the gospel is preached, you have to make a choice. Every time the gospel is preached, you have to make a choice. You have to make a decision. Either to receive it or reject it. The vast majority of people whose hearts are hard and closed and whose eyes are blinded by Satan would reject the gospel. Jesus came to his world, and his world did not recognize him. He came to his own people, his own nation, and they did not receive him. And Jesus said in Matthew 10, 40 and 41, he said this, "He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives the one that is the Father who sent me." Welcoming the message. He's welcoming Jesus Christ. Receiving the message is receiving Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Savior, the Lord. And a classic example of this receiving is stated in Luke chapter 2. It speaks about Jesus Christ being brought by his parents to the temple. Luke 2, beginning with verse 25. "Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him." And let me tell you, you will not receive the gospel and you will not welcome Jesus Christ unless the Holy Ghost works in you. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon welcomed him. That's the word, dekomai. The Simeon welcomed him. Simeon received him. Simeon embraced him. Received him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation." When the gospel is preached, you have to make a decision, either to receive the message, receive Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, and you will not do this unless the Spirit of God is working in you. And if the Spirit is working in you, you will receive Christ, the Messiah, the Savior who sets you free. And turn with me to 1 Thessalonians to understand something about this receiving. If the Holy Spirit is working on person, he will receive the gospel. Look at verse 6, 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 6. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. In spite of severe suffering, you welcomed the message with joy given by the Holy Spirit. And there are vast majority of people, they will reject him because the Holy Spirit is not working in them. This is a mystery. And I am not here to explain that, but I am here to explain that if the Holy Spirit is working in your heart, you will receive the gospel in spite of persecution, hardship and trouble, and you will receive it with great joy because the forgiveness of sins brings such joy. Burden is removed. Come unto me, Jesus said, what? I'll give you rest. That is the joy. And look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. And we also thank God continually because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it. You received it not as the word of men, but it actually is the word of God. Turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 10. Let's look at Cornelius and the household. And here comes Peter to preach the gospel. But look at the attitude. Acts 10, 33. So I send for you immediately, and it was good for you to come. Now we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us. Please tell us. You see, the Holy Spirit prepared them to welcome the message. Now notice. Yes, they were more noble. They listened to the word. They welcomed the message. And then look at it. They did so daily. Just like they had to gather manna daily. It was the duty of the king to read the Bible daily so that he will know how to govern for the glory of the great king. And the Bible also tells us it is our duty to read the scriptures daily, as we read in Deuteronomy 11. These people examine the scriptures not once in a great while. There are people who go to church on Easter. I think we are going to get a lot of people on Easter or on Good Friday. These Bereans were people who read the word of God daily, examined it daily, studied it daily. May God help us to read the scriptures daily, that our mind may dwell upon and delight in and think upon what is true, what is lovely, what is praiseworthy, what is excellent. That's the Berean Christian. And not only that, they did so with all eagerness. The Greek word is prothumos. In other words, they looked into the scriptures with enthusiasm, full of eagerness, zeal, like a hungry man who is given some food and he's eager to get it and to eat it and to digest it. A thirsty man is given something to drink, full of enthusiasm, full of readiness, full of zeal. Psalm 1 speaks about the blessed man. His delight is in the law of the Lord. Oh, with all eagerness. And you see this picture in the book of Luke about Mary. Remember Mary, she sat at the feet of Jesus. Luke chapter 10, verse 39. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came in to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things. But only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. That's the enthusiasm. That's the readiness. That's the zeal. That's the delight. That's the preoccupation. That's the devotion. Because only one thing is necessary. Knowledge of God. That is all that is necessary for our salvation. How are you doing? Do you get into this thing like the Berean? Do you welcome the message? Do you do it daily? Do you do with passion and enthusiasm and zeal and delight and hunger? Because let me tell you, only one thing is needed. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall not pass away.
You have been listening to Grace and Glory Audio, featuring Pastor P.G. Matthew. Join with us next week for more transforming Bible teaching.